I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm Lewis Shackshaft. I'm joined with Jake Jackman today. This episode is very much about the playoffs, so we're going to get straight into it. Brentford beat Swansea 3-2 on aggregate. Fulham beat Cardiff also 3-2 on aggregate. What's your post-match thoughts on both of those games, Jake?
Yeah, they were good games, I thought. I think the second legs were better than the first legs, but I think both teams that went out were probably think they could have gone through on another day, and the two teams that went through might have thought they would have won by a bigger margin. So it was one of those that very close games as they normally are in the playoffs. If we guess, we should probably tackle the Brentford Swansea one first, as that was the one that came first. Obviously on Sunday it was a bit of a strange game, really. Brentford didn't play very well at all. They obviously had Rico Henry sent off somewhat controversially. That obviously got rescinded for the second leg, but I think that provided an opportunity to Swansea. They could have went on and won by a bigger margin. Only winning 1-0 there did leave them sort of open to this difficult position at Griffin Park. Obviously, being the last game there, it was always going to be difficult, and only having a one-goal lead did make it difficult for them. I thought in the first leg they had numerous chances. Obviously, IU missed a penalty as well.
It did.
Yeah, Brewster had a couple of chances. Thought, especially after the sending off, they were much the better team. And David Raya made a few excellent stops and kept Brentford in the tie, really. I think he was really good over the two games, David Raya, in his distribution and his saves. So, yeah, I think he was the key man for me in that first game. And then moving into the second leg, starting as they did, getting two early goals just made it so difficult for Swansea. It was a difficult task for them already, but to lose those two goals as early as they did made it so difficult, and could have been more on the night. I'm sure Swansea will probably think they could have got more as well, but Ben Rahm hit the crossbar twice. And they had, in Marcondes had a couple of good chances, and then it was really only Janssen's error that got Swansea back into the game. I don't think Swansea were going to get back into it on their own. So, yeah, I think over the two games, Brentford deserved it. I think it really helped them that it was the last game at Griffin Park. It gave them a bit of motivation. Thomas Frank, obviously, very confident across going into the second leg, and he was proved right. I'm sure his comments would have been brought back up if they wouldn't have gone through. But he was confident in his players, and it turned out to be justified. They played really well, and they were the Brentford team that I think we know they can be, and sort of been missing in the last three games. So it's important they had that big performance, and they had it. And I'm sure we'll come on to the final later, but I think they go into it as favourites now. I think that their performance was a lot more conclusive than Fulham's one that I'll let you talk about the second semi-final. But I thought Brentford were deserving winners, and Swansea just a step too far, and I think they'll be ruined that period in the first leg where they didn't take advantage of having the extra man.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got to remember as well, that was Brentford's last game at Griffin Park, which obviously was fitting that they got the result, and will then obviously go to the playoff final as well. And like you say, Thomas Frank was very confident and deserving winners on the night. Andre Ayew's penalty miss, like you already mentioned, that kind of proved to be decisive from the first leg. You know, imagine if they'd have got a 2-0 victory, then, you know, it may have been a step too far. But yeah, going into the next game, I mean, Niskin's Cabano, you know, has been the difference for Fulham over these last four games. He's managed to get 5 goals in 4 games now, which is unbelievable, because I think it was over a year at least since his last goal. And I know he's been a bit part player, but he's certainly showing huge form ahead of the playoff final. But yeah, talking about the game as such, there's just literally not a lot between all of these sides. You know, I know I'm talking Fulham and Cardiff, but both games, you've got to admire that, you know, that they've got talent all around the park. There's a lot of experience. And not only that, every single team did manage to win one of the legs, which came as quite as a surprise. And not only that, like we've already touched on, both games were 3-2 also. But it was just interesting that, you know, Fulham managed to win the away leg, and then Cardiff managed to win the away leg as well. And I think that's just basically down to the talent that's on show. You know, you look at Cardiff, and they had Lee Tomlin who managed to get that goal in the previous leg. It just seemed to fall for Fulham, and like I've already touched on, Cabano, he's managed to score two goals in the two games there. But yeah, if you look at the players that were great over all of the legs in these games, you know, I'd probably have Rico Henry down as the best player over the two legs for Brentford. He managed to get an assist, and like you said, he was wrongfully dismissed. Brewster probably for Swansea managed to get his goal. I think Joe Rawls was fantastic over the two legs for Cardiff City, despite being on the losing side. But in terms of Cardiff and Swansea, both sides who have missed out on the playoff final, I think it just goes to show that they will come back stronger next season. They have got a lot of talent. And, you know, Steve Cooper and Neil Harris both doing great jobs there. I know we touched on this last week on how, you know, they've developed youth, and, well, particularly at Swansea. And I think both sides, yeah, next season will certainly be pushing playoffs again. And you know, the question is whether they can go that step further. But, yeah, let's preview the playoff final then, Jake. Fulham versus Brentford. I mean, where do you start? What is your preview for this game?
Yeah, I think before we start previewing the game, I think just to touch on going back to the Fulham Cardiff matches, I saw an interesting stat doing the rounds on social media that Fulham have now won 5 of their 7 games without Mitrovic. So
interesting, yeah.
The one defeat did come last night, but then it was still a positive result for Fulham at the end of the day. They came out with what they wanted. So I'm not sure you can really classify that as a loss, even though it was on the night. I think they probably approached it slightly differently. So they've yet to have a disappointing result without Mitrovic in the team. I wonder what your thoughts are on this, Louis. Do you think that they would benefit by not having Mitrovic in the final? Do you think that they do look slightly freer? I think if we focus more on the first leg, I think that's probably more of the Fulham team we'll get next week. So do you think that maybe if he does return, that might be actually a negative for Fulham?
No, because I'm going to disagree with that. I can completely understand what you're saying. But even if Mitrovic is the type of player what could do nothing for 80 minutes, but he could be the guy what steps up, and he's done it in the past. He'll bag a header, or he'll score from, you know, inside the 6-yard box. And that's, you know, a player like that, as we know, who's probably worth 25, 30 million in the current market, is the difference between going up and not doing. And even though, you know, Fulham could, you know, potentially play in the playoff final, and Brentford could be all over them, you know, in many ways people might predict that. But with Mitrovic on the park, like we've said before, he's the only player. I know Fulham have got a great team, but he's the standout player where I look at him and think, you know, he's scored more than 25 goals this season, and he really could be the difference in gaining that £125 million promotion and not doing. And it's funny that you mentioned last week he could also be that player that gets sent off and headbutts somebody. He is literally, you know, Marmite's probably not the word, but you just sometimes don't know what you're going to expect from him. So, you know, I'd be guaranteed that he does start. And it wouldn't also surprise me if Fulham were promoted and it was 1-0 and Mitrovic scored. But yeah, you know, in terms of the game itself, I think a lot of people are going to expect plenty of goals in this game, because you think of Brentford's attacking football and the players that they've got up front. Fulham, I've already touched on Mitrovic, and obviously they've got Kearney, and Cabano was obviously one of the players on, one of the first players on the team sheet, I believe now, with 5 goals in 4 games, which I've already mentioned. But it would really not surprise me if this game turns out to be very poor and it's not actually eye-catching at all. Because there's just so much at stake, isn't there? We've seen it before that, you expect a spectacle when it's the playoff final, and these two sides are very much evenly matched. And I don't know whether, even though they won on aggregate, Fulham's loss against Cardiff City going into this game is a negative, but also Brentford's win against Swansea is obviously a positive. So I don't know whether that will play a factor in this also. But for me, we can talk about Brentford and Fulham all we like and their attacking players, Mbeumo, Mitrovic, Benrahma, a couple of these players are probably the best players in the division. Watkins as well, obviously. But I think defence is going to be key. You talk about goals a lot when we look at these sides, but in a game like this, it's very much, one mistake could be pivotal to either side. And for that reason, I think it might be not a great game to watch, but, the back four for both sides is going to be vital. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely think so. If we just go back to their previous meeting, it was post-lockdown. I think it was the first championship game back, if I'm not mistaken. It was a 2-0 win to Brentford. They got 2 late goals. But if watching the game, if you watched it, it was sort of split into those tactical breaks. So you had Fulham. Fulham had a good start, and then Brentford came back into it, and then Fulham dominated the first half of the second half, and then Brentford finished it off and finished well. So they're definitely two evenly matched teams. I'd expect the final to go in a similar way. They'll both have their periods. I guess it depends who turns up on the day and who takes their chances, because I think both teams will have chances. But I do agree I don't think it's going to be a 4-3 classic, maybe a 2-1. That I'm sure will come on to predictions later. But I think there'll be a couple of goals, but I don't think it's going to be all scoring. It'll be sort of similar to how it was when Fulham played Aston Villa a few seasons ago in the playoff final, I think. Or was it, who was it that they played when they won 1-0? Was it Villa? Yeah, I think going back to that game, people expected goals then, they didn't come. So it will come down to the defence. I think we know both teams have got players that are capable of producing moments of magic. You look at Brentford, Benrahma, Watkins, Mbeumo, even Marcondes, who played the other day, they could all produce something, whereas for Fulham, Cabano's been in good form, as you said. Onuma, excellent goal in the first leg, and he's sort of really stepping up in as an attacking force. Knockout, not been a great season, but we know what he can do. Mitrovic, if he plays, it's deadly in front of goal if he gets a chance. But it is at the back, and you look at both defences. I think Hex has been really good for Fulham this season, but he made a mistake yesterday. And then Janssen, again, a very good player, but he's made mistakes. None more so than the one that nearly let Swansea back into the tie. Both defences have shown individual errors recently. I think the two goalkeepers are both very solid, two of the better ones in the league. I think it might be important for Fulham that the way that Kearney and Harrison Reed play, I think as a pairing, they're really good together. I think Harrison Reed's been quite good since the restart.
He has, yeah.
That pairing's going to be important, and it might be whoever controls that midfield battle between the two teams will come out on top. But I do agree. I think it's going to be tight. I don't think there's going to be many goals, but I think at times, maybe in the last stage of each half, it might be quite open. But it's a really difficult one to call.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Who do you think are the key players on...
I'm going to back myself up from what I said earlier. I think any normal league game, I would have said Benrahma for Brentford and possibly, you know, Mitrovic for Fulham. But in this playoff final, that's a lottery. So much at stake. You know, both teams will be nervous on the day. We'd normally expect Brentford to get at Fulham. And I think if you were to put both teams together and they can both play to the best of their ability, I could probably see Brentford winning. But Fulham know that what they need to do is stop Brentford playing. And again, this is why I'm backing up saying defence is key. So for me, I'm going to say that Michael Hector is going to be the key man for Fulham, but Ethan Pinnock would be the key man for Brentford. But having said that, I've also wrote down Rodak and Ray are the two keepers, because I keep mentioning that it could come down to one mistake. It could come down to a sending off or a penalty kick. So for those reasons, yeah, the back four as a whole. But yeah, I'd say Hector or Pinnock for either side are going to be the key players. What about yourself, if you had to pick a player from each team?
Yeah, I think for Fulham, it's probably Tom Kearney. I think that we've obviously seen what he can do in this fixture before. I think this season's been a poor one for him. I think many expect him to come back down to the Championship and sort of dominate as he did in his two years prior to going up to the Premier League. But not sure if Scott Parker's really found the right role for him. I don't think he's got the best out of him. I don't think it's all on Scott Parker. I think Kearney has probably not been as good as he could be in some of his performances as well. It might be a motivational thing. He might still be sort of disappointed at what he did in the Premier League and he's still trying to find his feet. But I think this is a game that could bring out the best in him. You know, the best players turn up in the best games. That's often been said in Kearney. But for all his disappointment this year and for some of the other talented players Fulham have got, I still think he's the best player in that team. And I think that Brentford, they've got a good central midfield, but there will be space for Kearney if he chooses to take up the right positions. I think he could really influence the game. I think that he's got the quality to, you know, get Cabano into good positions, get Onuma in the final third, get Knockhart running in behind. He could really orchestrate things. I think for me, he's still that key player on that Fulham team. And I think this game is huge for his future career. Obviously, if they go up, he'll get another chance at the Premier League. But I think if Fulham don't go up and Kearney doesn't play well, I think that might be that Fulham maybe look to move on, because it's really not worked out with him under Parker. I think this is a huge game for him. For Brentford, it could be, you know, you could pick any player here. I think Mbeumo is going to have a big impact. I've been so impressed with what I've seen him this season. I think he'd be slightly disappointing in times since the restart, especially in recent matches. But he got a goal the other day. I think his movement, his intelligence has really shown that he often gets first goals in games. I've noticed that this season. He's always getting in the right positions to score goals. And I think that his quality has sort of been undershadowed a little bit. Obviously, Benrahma and Watkins, what they've done this season, they're both quality players. But I think Mbeumo is up on their level. And I think that he doesn't get talked about.
Definitely,
that.
Yeah.
This could be a game where he really announces himself and makes a name for himself and moves out of their shadow. So I think he's one that I think could cause real problems. Obviously, going up against probably the weaker side of Fulham's back four, so I think he's one that could cause real problems. In the final, it's just such a tough game to call. Who do you think needs the promotion more, Louis? It'd be interesting to know who do you think this game's is bigger for? Do you think it's obviously huge for them both? But you know, last year it did seem like it was Villa's big game. They need to get back up to the Premier League, but also Derby. That when you Lampard was probably leaving, we thought that that might be their best chance for a while of all those loan players they had. It was a huge game for both, but I think this time it's probably bigger for Brentford, which is weird to say considering Fulham are the team that went down. But I honestly think it's Brentford with the players they've got, Benrahma, Watkins, likely to move on, maybe even Pinnock. He's only been there for a year, but he's really impressed. You know, this is a big game for Brentford, and although they've never been a Premier League before, team before, I think this is the time for them to get there. And I think this is a huge game for them. Whereas Fulham, if they dig up, I think it'll be a disappointment. But I could see them back up there again and keeping hold of a lot of those players. You'd say maybe only Mitrovic is one that they'd struggle to keep hold of. So yeah, be just, you know, if you agree and you think this is huge for Brentford, even bigger than it is for Fulham.
Yeah, totally. You know what? I was swaying towards Fulham because Fulham are a side who you expect to be in the Premier League, you know, now and again, and they are a bit of a yo-yo side at the minute, you know, between both leagues. But in terms of the players and the future for Brentford, you know, moving into a new stadium, I think whatever happens, you know, Brentford's future is going to be bright. But in the short term, I think if Brentford obviously do get promoted, then they're going to keep the likes of Watkins, Mbeumo, Benrahma, all these key players. And I think the only downside to Brentford not going up would be, you know, those players I've mentioned, maybe a couple of them moving on over the next few months. Whereas Fulham, I think they've got the capability to lose the final, but then go again and come back stronger next season, because we know it's the first season that Parker's been in charge in the Championship. I wouldn't expect, you know, a hatful of Fulham players to leave over the next few months. And, you know, and I believe that they'll continue to spend and get better. So, you know, even though the Premier League sides that have come down are going to be very strong next season, I'd really expect Fulham to be right up there. So yeah, I'm going to go with you. I think it's slightly more important for Brentford to get this victory based on the fact that they may lose their players. But the other interesting thing as well, this is probably the first season in a while where both teams actually deserve to be in the final based on their you know, final league position, obviously. Third and fourth in the table. So would you say there's an underdog this time round? There usually is, isn't there? You know, the team that finishes sixth often has gone on and reached the final and is the underdog. But I'm really split between these two sides. Are you?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think Brentford will be portrayed as the underdogs, or at least maybe not the underdogs, but they're the story here, I think. They will be the story on the day, because obviously they've never been in the Premier League before. What they've done under Matthew Benham, they go about things slightly differently. It's very analytical. It's data-driven. It's a very interesting story. And obviously, they've got the players that are getting linked to Premier League clubs and have really caught the imagination. So I think they're the story. But yeah, I don't think there's a clear underdog. I think Fulham have got that experience. And I think that Brentford have probably got the talent. So, you know, it's that age-old question, what's more important, talent or experience and mentality and haven't been there before. It's a difficult one, so it is really evenly matched. And as much as we said it's big for Brentford, whatever happens on next week at Wembley, I think they will be a Premier League club in the next 5 years. I just think that if they don't do it this season, it might be another couple of years before they're back up there, just in the short term rebuild. But they will be a Premier League club in the near future if it doesn't come next week. But I think this is a golden opportunity for them that they've got to take. And Fulham, if Scott Parker gets them back up at the first attempt, I think that's a great story in itself as well, because not many teams do it. We saw West Brom last season. We thought they were going to do it. They obviously brought in Dwight Gayle. They had Jay Rodriguez. They had so much talent and they could manage to do it. So if Parker does it, for all his faults and all the criticism he's taken, he's got to be seen as an excellent first season. As a manager, it's not easy, even with the quality that Fulham have. We've seen so many teams struggle at it. Even my team, Newcastle, when we came down to the Championship, yeah, we had Rafa Benitez. Yeah, we had a lot of money. We spent a lot of money, but it wasn't easy. We didn't run away with the league. I think we only got the title because Brighton had been on a bender for a couple of weeks. So it is really not easy to come back down and go straight back up. So, yeah. I agree. I don't think there is an underdog, though. Do you think there is? I just think Brentford are the story, but I would say they're an underdog.
No, I wouldn't say they're an underdog either. I get that's Fulham, you know, on the odds that the bookies might be just slight favourites based on experience, you know, that did it a couple of years ago. But no, I certainly don't think there's an underdog in this one, particularly at a neutral venue. I think if you were, you know, in the league and, you know, you often sway towards sides who are at home. If Fulham were playing Brentford at Craven Cottage, I'd probably pick Fulham. If it were at Griffin Park, I'd probably pick Brentford. But at Wembley, it's a totally different kettle of fish. So now I'm going to ask you the all-important question, Jake. What is your score prediction for this one?
Yeah, this is a difficult one. It is really a coin flip. I think before the playoffs started, we obviously knew the four teams. And we both leaned towards Fulham then. So the fact they're in this final should probably mean we back them now. Brentford really impressed me in the second leg. But what I will say is that they were sort of chasing again. And they seem to be very good at chasing. But when they're in control, we even saw that in the once they went ahead. They gave off that silly goal and it was a little bit of a nervy finish. So I don't know how they handle pressure. I think that's still the big question mark about this Brentford team and the chances they had in the final two matches to win and go off they didn't take. Mm. When they went away to Swansea, they had players off somewhat unfortunately, but you know that happened and they didn't look comfortable at all and they weren't the free-flowing Brentford team we've come to know. And as soon as they were chasing again, they were back. So starting level in a final in such a pressurized game, I have that question mark about them. And I have question marks about Fulham too, but they've had that experience. I think the way they managed the first leg against Cardiff was so important. They got into that unassailable lead that they could sort of relax a little bit in the second leg and sort of manage the game, which I think they did very well. Although Cardiff had chances, I think Fulham managed the tie quite well. I've got more confidence in Fulham managing this game than I do Brentford. I think that Brentford, yeah, they need to get the first goal. I think first goal is key in any game, especially a playoff final. So I think the first goal is key. We have seen in previous years, can't remember one in the Championship off the top of my head, but in League One last season, Sunderland got the first goal and did go on to win. So it's not terminal if you don't get it. But I think that in this game is key. And if Brentford gets it, I think I'm more confident in them winning. But then again, they'd be leading and there'd be that mentality question again. So, you know, if I honestly think that either team could come from behind here, but I think it's going to be crucial. We'll learn a lot from how they start the game. I've just got more faith in Fulham managing the game than I do Brentford. I really think that there's still that question mark about how they cope under pressure, how they cope when they're seen as the favourites. When it's in touch and distance, they've not quite grabbed it yet. And I think they've never gone up through the playoffs before in any division. So there's still that historic question mark as well. So I think I'm going to favour Fulham. I think as a neutral, I'd love to see Brentford go up this season. I think they really do deserve it. But I've just still got a question mark. And I think the last few matches of the season have really raised that. So I think Brentford are the better team. But I think Fulham are going to go up. I think they're going to win the game. I think they're going to have the experience and the know-how to manage it correctly. I think I'm going to go Fulham to win. I think I'll go 2-1.
It's funny you wrote that because I've wrote down Fulham to win 2-1. That's my head telling me that. My heart's telling me that Brentford will win 2-1. But for whatever reason, yeah, I've got 2-1 down. Talking about game management, though, I think that's key. And I think, yeah, Fulham, I've got that in abundance. I think that's what's seen them finish where they have done this season. You know, they had a slow start and they managed to creep all the way to near the top of the table. And remember that, you know, in the final game of the season, they still could have been promoted. So for whatever reason, I'm just going to go 2-1 to Fulham as well. It's just a gut instinct. I'm with you on this one. There is obviously a case for extra time and penalties. Could you see that, Jake?
Yeah, I could definitely see that in this one. I was almost close to saying 2-1 after extra time in my prediction, so could definitely see that one. I think it's going to be a really entertaining watch, but I think it's going to be really nervy in parts as well. It's so rare for there to be a playoff final where it's literally a coin flip. I think normally I'm 60-40 or you know, 65-35 in one team's favour, but this one, it's ever so slight. It's purely on Fulham having done it before that gives that is making me favour them. I agree with you. I think my heart said Brentford, but I've just got a nagging doubt with them. It's gonna be a great watch. I think everybody should be going out of their way to watch this.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be a great game. Slightly favoured Fulham could even bring in extra time and penalties. If it did go down to a penalty shootout, I don't know if there's been a championship player final decided by a penalty shootout in a long time, so that would be quite something.
Yeah, Huddersfield last time, I believe. Either way, it's going to be a fantastic watch. I'll certainly be watching it. And again, you know, I'm gut instincts as Fulham, but at the same time, I just probably want Brentford to do it deep down inside me. I just because of, you know, I think everyone's a little bit biased towards Brentford being, you know, a smaller infrastructure side, but with the players they've got and they've just done so well over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years that, you know, it would be great for Brentford to do it also. But we will have to wait to Tuesday to find out. So this episode is now over. So unfortunately, Jake, we are out of time. Do you want to let our listeners know where they can find you?
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at JakeJackwood2Ns. Anything I do, I'll post on there. I was also on the Premier League show last weekend after the end of the Premier League season, so you can listen to my bit about Newcastle on that if you fancy that.
Cheers for that, Jake. I've been your host at Louis Shackshoft on Twitter, but please remember to follow the show at Championship Pod. We post each show to our pin tweet. Obviously, this has been the playoff show, but pre-season starts again in a couple of weeks' time, so I'm sure that there will be another episode out in due course. It won't be in you know, the long-distant future. So we want to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you again next time.